I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. The great Nicola Cavendish makes a return to the stage in the Arts Club Theatre Company's latest, the opener to their 51st season, 4,000 Miles, the acclaimed play from the American playwright Amy Herzog. Ms. Cavendish has been away from the stage for 3 years following the death of her husband and soon after moving to the Okanagan to be with her ailing father. He is very much on her mind as the play opens this week. In fact, her 89-year-old dad is carried by her as she plays a 91-year-old grandmother who gets a visit from her 21-year-old grandson. The play is moving, funny, filled with humor and compassion as these two characters challenge and connect with one another. Nicola Cavendish has appeared countless times with the Arts Club Theatre as she is an award-winning actress with many stage credits across the country, as well as in film and television. She's also a playwright and author. Visit artsclub.com for tickets and information. 4,000 Miles runs until the 12th of October at the Stanley Industrial Alliance stage, where on a Sunday afternoon I have caught Ms. Cavendish just as she's about to step on stage for performance. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program, Nicola Cavendish. Ms. Cavendish, good morning.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
You know, I just woke up on the couch on the set. It's the most comfortable couch, I think. I'm going to be spending my two show days between them. Sound asleep on that couch.
The set looks like a real apartment, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Roy Surrett, the director, and I went to New York City last October to meet specifically Barbara Mattis, and she is a designer, Canadian-born and out of Montreal, but moved to New York 20 years ago and took up a life there, film and art direction and for stage. And she is the person behind this wonderful set. It's so real. It's real to be on as an actor. It feels like you're in someone's home. And it's just delightful for the audience, the details to look at all the time, endless, wonderful, glorious set.
So, baby, you don't spend your whole day at the theater, do you?
No, God forbid. In fact, tomorrow I can't wait. I'm going to be putting in my hedge in Qualicum at my little house over there, and that means hands in dirt for at least 8 hours. Yay!
Yeah. So you live in North Van, is that right? Or
yes, my husband and I, wisely, 1 year before Expo 86. How about that for timing in life? Purchased a house for $99,000, and
wow.
I think it's going to be my future now when it comes to selling it eventually. But it was always a wonderful old character home. We loved it very, very much. And at the right time also, when prices were down, because actors don't always have lots of cash there. In Qualicum Beach, as you leave the town, we found a little place on the right on the little Qualicum River. So it's in the woods, very kind of private and beautiful for dog walks and great to watch the salmon spawn right off the front lawn. So, yes, I live there whenever I can get there. Right now my focus is my father, though, as you so kindly mentioned. Yes.
Yeah. How is he today?
You know what, Joe, he's going to be the next person I speak to after you. I check in with him every day. He's very linked to me. He naturally feels the distance between us of 4.5 hours. Anything can happen at any minute, but his spirit is solid, his humor is intact, his brain is extraordinary. It's just his tired heart is betraying him now, and very, very tired, and very much in need of three good parts, but it's too late is the cry. So Dado is always there for me at the end of the phone call while I'm doing this, and this is actually a necessary choice, I think, for me. I'd lived for the 2.5, 3 years up there in the sanctuary of my old home in Caledon. But there was something about a feeling of cutting myself off from the ongoing world. And so that's why I'm here as well. I'll be going back to Dad as soon as this is over. There's no question about that.
And you know, so you were away for 2 to 3 years from the acting business, if you will.
Yes.
When you went back to it, did you find that you missed it? Did it feel familiar at the same time?
No, it didn't. I didn't miss it. To be brutally honest, I wondered if it was time to actually give it a miss completely, to really seriously think about something that I've been saying, oh, do I need to do this anymore? It hurts like hell. It hurts your head, my head. It hurts my body. It hurts my, the stress levels are enormous. It's a big text, to learn. Learning is not as easy as it was before. I know it's retraining a muscle. There's no question about that. And it's coming now. The confidence is growing. But there's definitely a... It's very frightening. And you do wonder. You get to the age of 62, which I'll be in a month, and you sort of think, well, what... This doesn't need to be all there is. The passion when you were 26 and starting is the excitement, the thrill, the society of it, the... You know, the camaraderie of it. None of that is as important anymore to me as the other part. What's on the other side of the walls, the door that leads to outside of the theater? That outside world is far more enticing and tantalizing. What is paramount still is the responsibility that I have to my audience to understand with clarity and connection and emotional investment and my soul in it. The story they're coming to see and their character that they're coming to meet on my back, that will never fade. So I'm dedicated to the work. There's no question about it. Any good actor is. But listen to me sigh. It extracts a lot. Yes, it extracts a lot.
Now, audiences do love you, though. I mean, that must be a great feeling every night to get. I mean, you really do. I mean, I've seen you perform, and there's something in the audience that one doesn't, say, feel about an actor that you get, you know.
I don't, I would be mad to assume that I'm doing a good enough job, or, which is where that feeling that you're talking about comes from. I never, you know, I was with Tico Kerr not too long ago, and I think all artists go through this. They never really trust their choices, their work themselves. They don't because it could always be better. It can always be cleaner. It can always be clearer. It can always be sharper. It can always be something more. People talk about it. It's that lack of belief, just the lack of belief in yourself. And lack of satisfaction for the ultimate product. It can just simply, you know, always wanting to pick up the paintbrush and just put another stroke on it. And really, that's the ultimate challenge, is to be able to arrive at a place where you go, you know what, that was really good. I think in this play, Joe, I am hitting places that really satisfy me. I think, well done, Nikki. That was good tonight. You can rest easy on that. But there still lies in some areas a panic underneath that it's just a little bit beyond my brain. It's just a little bit beyond my reach. And that is what keeps it, probably for the audience, hot. Because it's more alive. And I'm glad for the result, but the process is a very undermining one. Yeah. I love what you're saying, and I appreciate what you're saying, and I hope what you're saying is true. I feel their warmth in a curtain call. I do. But I've always regarded the audience as true treasures. Anybody who chooses to come into the theater for me gets a great big gold star, because it shows that they're clever people. They're wise people. They understand that the exchange that happens between the audience and the story on stage, and all of the people who put their hands in to make that story come alive, from backstage to stage management booth to lighting designers, costume designers, set designers, sound designers, all of the people that have come to work on it, that it's such a fragile and ephemeral piece of work that changes from performance to performance and show to show. But I think the people who come in recognize that something happens to them while they're sitting in their seat that they put out good money for, to watch a play, and ultimately the challenge for us is to affect them. If I can affect anybody, then I'm really, really happy. I'm really, really pleased. And I think there are great areas in this play for many people to be affected by the resonance of the material. It resonates very, very differently for everybody, because it's so very personal, this story. Yeah.
Now, this play is highly regarded. Has it changed any of your thoughts as to say, aging or family relations, say?
you know, this 3 years spent with my father and my husband, Michael, dying suddenly, they've been pretty extraordinary years anyway. They have been me in pursuit of, you know, Monty Python's The Meaning of Life, in pursuit of what it means to actually be alive and what it means to actually watch somebody going through the end of their life. Right in front of my eyes, watch my dad diminish, always a vigorous, hearty, physically strong, vibrant man, with humor at the end of his, fingertips, always. And to see that it all takes so much effort now, and to be enriched and learn to become less afraid of death, and to recognize that it is something that will continue to come more frequently now with friends as we get older, and just to appreciate what it means to be elderly, the vulnerability of it, how easy it is to help somebody, how easy it is to be kind, how easy to ask if you need a bit of a hand with that. That's the delightful payback to me while watching my father, and further, while displaying Vera on the stage in 4,000 Miles.
Now, you have younger actors with you as part of this production. Do you think they get that out of this work?
It's fascinating being with them, because I'm watching myself when I was 25 years old. I think they stand to learn a lot. They're also very solid themselves. They've had good training in the in their years. They really do shine. I can obviously see places where I want to say, oh, if you just do that, if you just turn that way, that'll be much better, because then you see the audience will. But I think the regard for the audience is something that you have to learn very, very personally. You have to understand that if they aren't there, we aren't there. And that there's a sense of gratitude from the moment you step on the stage. And that's just an element that's carried along on behalf of your character, but it's carried along with you as you go on stage. And those are the kinds of things you can't learn until you've done it lots and lots and lots. And you can't learn it until you've been running in the corral with the best of the horses. And I had that great fortune to watch how people around me who were older actors from all across the country, because that was just the way it turned out in my life, and to watch them in every show I was ever in. And that experience is certainly always is the best teacher, we know that. And they'll have experience down the road. They're very, very solid and very strong, these young people. I think all young students should come and see this in the theater and just check out what these kids are capable of doing. And yes, that is the treat in the play. You know, it's a contemporary play. It's got the language that kids use. It's got the it's got the reactions from the audience about that, the older audience. But the reality is, this is how it is now, and better to get on with what they're saying and listen to what they mean than immediately obliterate them and condemn them for a silly word that comes out of their mouth, you know. So I think there's that lovely lesson in it as well.
Yeah, it is for everyone, isn't it, this play?
It absolutely is. It resonates into so many things. I mean, you've got three kids. Mm-hmm. One's a daughter of a wealthy Asian family from San Francisco, one character, Amanda. One character, Rebecca, is pursuing her studies at a New York university. And you've got Nathan Barrett, who plays Leo, my grandson, right in the middle of all of this. And he's witness to an extraordinary tragedy that happens as he crosses the 4,000 miles from west to east. And it affects him, obviously. And he ends up at his grandmother's house because he has nowhere else to go. And so the time passes between them. And he brings the young people into his grandmother's life and home. And she carries on with her very private, solo, elderly world in the process, affected by him. It's that simple a story, but the things that they all say are rich with meaning. And, of course, Amy Herzog, in writing this, took a great deal of it from her own grandmother. This is, to some degree, her grandmother's story, with her own license to write drama into the middle of it and weave it through it. But, yeah, it's got that personal truth, and a lot of the passages are out of Amy Herzog's grandmother's mouth. Yeah.
So you're about an hour before curtain.
Am I?
Yeah. My last question will be, what's this time like just before you have a performance? Is the joy of the theater for you, is that still there?
You know, when I walked into the theater today, the first thing I did was walk onto the set, because it feels right to do so, lie down on the couch, as I told you, and have a 15-minute snooze, which happened because I'm tired. The show tires me. And then I walk through the lobby to come up to the phone to speak with you. And in the lobby, all the ushers are having the best coffee out of the machine. And the lobby smells wonderful. And they look wonderful in their outfits. And it's a lovely theater to come through. And the stage manager brought me through. And we were talking about all the really neat sort of little concealed places in the walls of the theater. And up top, there's a cupola where you can... we want to get up there. That appears to be some kind of roof garden, not really appreciated. And right now I'm sitting in an office behind the big Stanley sign, which is an old, old sign. And there's a whole world between the sign and the building as well that people don't see. So it's glorious to come to the theater. It really is. It just fills your heart with that kid thing of, oh, I wonder what's going to happen today. It's live. That's the beauty of theater. It's dangerous. It's edgy. It's but above all, because we hold them so carefully in the palm of our hands, it's the safest place you could possibly be as well. It feels great. I'll never, ever not love being in the theater.
It's been such a delight to speak with you. I've been a fan of yours for years, and the break a leg, as they say.
Thank you, Joe, so much for the support role that you play in all of this. I appreciate it greatly.
You're very welcome. Thanks for this.
Take good care.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Visit artsclub.com for tickets and information for 4,000 miles. It runs at the Stanley Industrial Alliance stage here in Vancouver until the 12th of October. Nicola Cavendish joined me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plunton.